There are innumerable cases of people declaring themselves a nation and then seceding from a national government. We've had some in Australia, most notably the Hutt River province in Western Australia. I asked Dr. Harry Hobbs from the University of Technology Sydney, who's written a book with George Williams called How to Rule Your Own Country, just what constituted a micronation.
A micronation is a self-declared nation that performs and mimics acts of sovereignty and statehood, but has no legal basis for its existence. So it looks a bit like a real country, like Australia, Japan, the United Kingdom, but it's not a real country. It does things like issue stamps, print passports, mint currency, compose national anthems. But again, there's no legal basis for anything that it does. So it's a bit of fun more than anything.
Because one that many Australians will remember is the Hutt River province, I think it was called. And Prince Leonard of Hutt decided that he got sick of paying taxes to the Australian government. Is that sort of a common reason why people want to secede?
Very common, yeah. Disputes with the local council is really common as well. But you have the whole spectrum of reasons why people do this. You have things that, you know, people might be upset with a decision about local council, not able to build a driveway, for example. Prince Leonard had a fight over a wheat quota. People upset about tax, these sorts of things. Then you have more that are perhaps socially aware or more other-regarding rather than self-regarding. And you have people who create a micronation as a way to get political and social and media attention on an issue they really care about.
Perhaps in that category, you've studied one called the Gay and Lesbian Kingdom of the Coral Sea Islands. Where's that?
Yeah, so, well, it's in the Coral Sea
Coral
Islands.
Sea Islands.
Yeah. Well, it was there. It was based on Cato Island in the Coral Sea. It was set up in 2004 when the Australian Parliament passed a law that banned same-sex marriage. So you might remember back in 2004, there was a debate about whether marriages of same-sex people that were registered overseas, where it was legal, would be recognised in Australia. And the Parliament said, no, we're going to prohibit that and ban that and make clear that marriage is only between people of the opposite sex. So some people said, well, we're not happy with this. And, you know, what better way to raise attention to this than to go and create their own country? And so they sailed out to the Coral Sea Islands, planted a flag, set up a declaration of sovereignty, and used it as a way to drive media attention to this issue. And eventually they actually peacefully reintegrated into Australia in 2017 after the same-sex marriage plebiscite.
So a lot of people think that this is going to be a good idea and they look for a bit of spare space. Is that always available? How easy is it to do something like this?
Well, there are micronations that are based on a farm, like Hutt River was. There are some that are based in Mossman at your own house on Balmoral Bay. There are some that are based in your own flat. So you really, you don't need much space at all. Some of them are also based online and over the internet. So there are a lot of cyber or simulationist micronations, they're called, that are kind of really just performance art projects, perhaps, that are based entirely online.
Are there any that have actually become legal?
So, unfortunately, no micronation has ever become a real state, and that's largely because other states won't let them. A libertarian micronation that was established on a Coral Sea atoll in the 1970s between Fiji and Tonga, about 500 miles from Tonga, maybe 700 miles from Fiji, right out really in the middle of nowhere, you might say. There was no recognised state, no one was living there. And so there was nothing there to begin with. And so that seems like a pretty good spot to create your own country. The only challenge was, obviously, that there was no one there because it was underwater at high tide. So an American millionaire coin dealer and real estate mogul sailed out there and dumped a whole bunch of sand on this coral atoll to raise it above sea level and built a sort of, you know, some sort of rudimentary construction, essentially, that he planted a flag on and then issued his Declaration of Independence to 100 countries all around the world saying that this is land of Minerva, or Republic of Minerva, land of the rising atoll. And he survived for about, he didn't live there, but his entity survived for about 6 months before the Tongan Navy came and shut it down.
And how did they shut it down?
They
put a Tongan flag on there and...
They ejected the people who were there. There were a couple of Americans.
Oh, there were people there.
There were a couple of Americans who were there at the moment, and they ejected them and sailed them back to Tonga, and they demolished everything that had been built. And now it's actually caused a fight between Tonga and Fiji. They both claim sovereignty over this tiny little coral atoll on the basis that it allows them fishing rights.
I have to ask about pirate radio. How does that fit in to a micronation?
So your listeners might be aware, there was a movie a number of years ago about pirate radio in the UK. So the BBC used to have a monopoly of radio broadcasting in the UK. They were the only station allowed to broadcast. They took this very seriously and they broadcast classical music. And that's what they thought was really important, to educate British citizens. In the 60s, a lot of people said, well, we don't really want to listen to classical music anymore. We want to listen to something a bit more fun. And so some enterprising entrepreneurs would decide what they would do is that they would set up shop on a boat or an anti-aircraft platform that had been sitting there since World War II and broadcast pop radio into the UK from outside the UK's territorial waters.
And so is this the movie The Boat That Rocked?
The Boat That Rocked is the movie. That's the title, yeah. And so one of these people was doing it for a long time. Eventually the UK said, look, we're going to have to stop this. The challenge they found was that the Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, quite liked the pirate radio operators and he liked the music they played. So they weren't really sure how to deal with it. But eventually, one of the pirate radio operators shot one of their competitors and the government was forced to do something. So they passed a law that said, look, we can't do this anymore. And what we'll do, we'll liberalise the radio stations a little bit more and BBC will play a bit more interesting music and we'll sort of shut it down. So most people who were pirate radio DJs eventually started working for the BBC, but one person didn't really want to do that. And what he said was, bugger this, I'm going to create my own country and continue to broadcast pirate radio from here. And because I'm my own country, I'm allowed to.
Oh, and he did.
He did, yeah. And he's still, he passed away, but his family still live on the platform about 11 miles off the coast of the UK.
Dr. Harry Hobbs, co-author of How to Rule Your Own Country, speaking with me there.